Welcome back, folks, to episode 60 of A Shot of Business Central and a Beer. I'm Ken Sevahar, and joining me, as always, is the mega man with the marketing plan, Michael.
Hey there, Business Central aficionados. Ready for another round of news, insights, and cheesy jokes?
You know it, Michael. Grab your favorite brew, sit back, relax, and strap it down. And let's dive into the frothy sea of Business Central updates.
But first, Ken, let me hit you with this one. Why did the Business Central user break up with their calculator?
I don't know, Michael. Why?
Because it couldn't handle their complex relationship with data. Ba-da-bum.
Hardy har. Michael, you never fail to bring the cheese. But speaking of complex relationships, we're going to be talking about the latest news shaking up the Business Central world.
And while we're at it, let's not forget to check out Business Central's newest Copilot offerings, analyzing and sales line suggestion.
Ah, Copilot. Always there to steer us away from financial turbulence and guide us towards profit paradise.
That's right, Ken. With analyzing, you'll be slicing through the data like hot knife through butter, uncovering insights faster than you can say cash flow statement. And sales line suggestion, it's like having a sales whisper in your ear, nudging you towards those sweet, sweet deals.
Sounds like every business owner's dream come true. Now, if only they could invent a co-pilot for navigating my family dinners.
Oh, the possibilities, Ken. Co-pilot, guide me away from Aunt Mildred's meatloaf and towards Uncle Joe's famous barbecue ribs. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, folks, that's a wrap for today's AI-generated introduction. But fear not, we've got more Business Central banter and beer-fueled antics coming your way.
So keep sipping, keep laughing, and keep thriving in the world of Business Central, and let's get into it.
Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to A Shot of Business Central. This is our special guest segment, and today we are lucky to truly have one of the nicest people in the world on our show. We have a person who goes by the name of Molly Fuchel, who is the president of Dynamics User Group. Molly, thank you for being here. We truly appreciate it. So how are you and what's new in life?
Oh, thank you for having me back. It is just very thrilling to be back with Ken and Michael. I tell you what, it just flew by. Let's see. There's a little thing called DynamicsCon Live. That's probably the most exciting thing that's happening in my world lately. And from my understanding, we're going to get to see Ken there. Ken will be speaking, and he's even bringing a teammate who's new to our space. So can't wait to dive into details on how welcoming it's going to be for your teammate, Ken.
Yeah, we are. We're excited to have you here and tell everyone about the Dynamic User Group and the upcoming conference and what everyone can look forward to. Let's start it off, most importantly, with what we're drinking today. So Molly, you got to choose. What are we drinking here today?
Yes, these two kind gentlemen let their guests choose what they would like to bring on A Shot of Beer podcast. So naturally, I picked something that was gluten-free, which is not a beer at all. So thanks to these two for their flexibility. So we will be sharing virtually today the vodka seltzer High Noon, and they even went so far as to get one of my favorite flavors, which is pineapple. So here we go.
Here we go. Let's crack these open.
My first seltzer.
And let's dive in.
Wow, your first seltzer ever.
My first one ever. Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
cheers, virtually.
You're a seltzer. You're a seltzer virgin.
I am.
Well, they're gluten-free, dairy-free. There you go, Michael. I mean, you're hitting all the boxes of those dietary restrictions.
I'll tell you, so it has more flavor than what I anticipated, right? Most people, I probably think of like LaCroix with a little bit of alcohol. This actually has more pineapple flavoring than a LaCroix would. I don't taste a lot of alcohol, though, but I know it has 5% alcohol content, which is really good, right? I mean, that's comparable to beer, so.
There you go.
It's pretty good. It's tasty.
Ken, you have tested this before. So can you give us your initial feels and taste buds and how it sits the second time?
I have. It's very refreshing. I got to be in a very certain mood. I can't describe it, but, you know, to drink a High Noon. But I will tell you, I've tried Truly and White Claw and High Noon. Let's just say those three. High Noon is by far the best of those three, I believe. The other ones just kind of taste like someone took a can of LaCroix, dumped out an ounce and like poured some grain alcohol, you know, into the top of it. This has, like Michael said, a little bit more flavor, a little bit more sweetness. I don't know. It just tastes like it was made, you know, not just concocted in someone's garage.
Just because you both have used that as a descriptor, the LaCroix that somebody dumped out an ounce and replaced it. Yeah, it makes me almost want to go back to my email string with Michael and say, oh yeah, it kind of tastes like a LaCroix if you dumped an ounce out and then just put some rain alcohol in it.
No, I don't think this one tastes like that, right? Yeah, that's how I pictured it tasting. I think Ken's a Truly or whatever tastes like that.
So. Yeah, like a Truly and a White Claw. I have no plans to drink one of those anytime. What I also found, we had a party last summer and we had like coolers filled. We had, you know, beer, one cooler filled with beers, another cooler filled with seltzers. And we had, I believe it was a bunch of White Claws and a bunch of High Noons. The High Noons were by far the first thing gone.
Oh, interesting.
People love them. It's soup. They're super popular.
And I'm guessing that's the atmosphere that you really resonate with when you're thinking of High Noons, is that backyard afternoon party in the summer or on the water or something like that, Ken.
I think that's pretty fair. Nice crisp taste, right? Refreshing.
It's definitely a summer drink. I can't drink this in winter.
I was going to say, Michael, since you're not as familiar to these, this is actually your first time. That's very exciting. Yeah. Like you said, would you have this on a boat or summer party coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it's more flavorful than I thought. It's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be, just because you hear what everybody says about Truly and all the other things. So yes, for summer, this is definitely a good summertime drink. Now, wintertime in front of like a fireplace with my sad love music on, no.
But summertime, or at least you have to pick a different flavor. Maybe that's like blackberry or something.
Yeah, right. Something a little bit more deeper.
Exactly. Yeah, let's dive down the sad love music. No, let's not. No.
Will you submit your playlist, your Spotify list in the show notes?
Yeah. I'll put in the chat.
So I got some details here on this stuff that we're drinking here. And I want to share this. So just to kind of compare this with like a beer, for example. So like a High Noon, right? Talked about like 4.5% alcohol, 100 calories, right? A Coors Light is 4.2% alcohol, 102 calories. So very, very close to like a light beer, domestic lager.
Nice.
Whereas like a Lagunitas IPA, 6.2% alcohol, maybe like 180 or 190 calories. So a lot more sugars and calories in like a heavier beer than that. I did think it was weird. Like, it's interesting. Everyone I talk to says like, why High Noons are different because they're made with vodka, right? Juice and vodka. But I looked at Truly's site and they say Truly vodka sodas are made with real fruit juice and 6X distilled vodka. So seems like they're the same thing, but again, the flavor very different.
That's what has to hit home with people. Just that flavor at the end of the day.
Yeah. I wonder how they do it with the same amount of calories, right? Because you would think that it's just more fruit juice, which would increase the calories.
Yeah.
Well,
right? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm generally into nutrition labels and ingredient lists, and there's always a lot of gray area with listing all your ingredients on an alcoholic beverage. Absolutely. So it might be some different sweeteners and things like that. Yeah. Maybe that's what we're falling in love with so much with this one.
So little history on these seltzers is actually back. I don't know how many people remember this from back from 1993 when Coors introduced Zima.
Yep.
Oh, Zima.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Zima is kind of one of the original, you know, similar type drinks.
Yes.
They kind of left the market. It came back in 2008 or 2017, but then they killed it when they came up with this new class of seltzers. And here's kind of an interesting stat. I found this article online. The article is from 2019, And it said that hard seltzers in the, I think this is, I don't know if this is globally or in the United States, had a market or sales of about 550 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they projected that sales by 2021 would be 2.5 billion.
Wow. Right?
A lot of numbers. So stick with me. I then found an article from 2023 and it said that the 2023 market size was, hold on, 19 billion.
Wow.
So they projected that by 2021, it was going to be 2.5 billion, but actually a year after that, it was 19 billion. And they project that by 2023, it'll be 65 billion.
Safe to say they hit the number.
So they're exceeding expectations.
Really? That much, though? I mean, I guess it's really popular with the younger generation, right? They're steering more away from traditional beers and things like that. So.
And you have an increased market share for mocktails, too, which is, yes, would be interesting to throw into that as well. I think, yeah, Ken, you're going to need a second cooler for those high noons at your next summer party, it sounds like.
Oh, definitely. Well, no, I'll just replace all the white claws with more high noons.
That's true.
Those things didn't move. I still may have some of those in my downstairs fridge.
Still.
Those still may be down there. I'm not sure. So anyways, let's keep drinking and get into this, though.
Yeah, let's jump on in. So for, you know, our you know, you've been on the podcast before, but some of our listeners might not have heard that podcast. So maybe, Molly, you can tell them a little bit about who you are and, you know, maybe jump into a little bit of what Dynamics User Group is.
Absolutely. Would love to. So again, my name is Molly Fuchel. If you didn't catch us at the very beginning, I am the president at Dynamics User Group. I've been here as employee number one, actually, for 4 years now, which is just, time really does fly when you're having fun. I've been in our community space for 9 years, and I am surrounded by an incredible team, an incredible community. And our company, Dynamics User Group, actually started way back in 1995, almost as old as Zima, it sounds like. And and we started as an open source Navision forum for people to ask questions and help each other figure out the problem. And that was started by Eric Ernst, who's an MVP. And since then, our current owners, Jonathan Stipula and Jacob Roeder, have really taken Doug just to new levels. We have the Doug meetups, which actually started way back in 2016. Those are our local user groups, which if you follow Dynamics User Group or Doug, as we call ourselves at all, you've seen our meetups grow like crazy, which is exciting. Yeah. And then we do, we launched ourselves really with a team as a virtual conference in 2020 when nobody was able to meet. So it was September of 2020. Our owners had the foresight to just really want to offer education across the globe to anyone that could use it or need it and not have to worry about going to an in-person conference. Well, that was quite the vision, because then COVID was here and nobody could go to an in-person conference. So what was supposed to just be a small something that we were just going to put on as a one-off has now expanded into 6 different educational programs for Doug. 4 years later, here we are. At that time, we had about 8,500 community members. Our community is free to join to access those programs. There's small fees for things like a conference registration pass, because it costs us a lot of money to host people with food and beverage. But otherwise, sure, most of our programs have no cost to them, thanks to the wonderful partners in our space funding our community organization. So when I started again, we were around 8,500 members. Today, we are at 44,000 members, wow, which is really exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been so great to see. And our mission and our goal is to be transparent, to offer what the community needs, to pivot when we need to. I'm thankful for our smaller organization being able to do that. And we've the vibes have just been very good. We have a wonderful partnership with Microsoft that continues to blossom as well. So we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for people just like the two of you for really supporting us in the journey.
Yep. We're big fans. And speaking of Dynamics Con, I know obviously there's one coming up here in May in Denver, Colorado. I'm excited for that. Before I forget this, I have to tell you that I've been going to a lot of conferences for, like, I've been in the NAV space and dynamic space for, I guess, 23 years. So I've been to a lot of different conferences by different people. Last year's in Scottsdale, was that last year? I lose track a little bit.
Yes, Scottsdale
was
last year.
Of the best.
Oh, in thank the, you.
The accommodations, the atmosphere. It was just great. It was fantastic. Oh, and I'm going to guess that the attendee count for this year is going to be higher than it was last year based on the success of last year's. Am I right?
Yes.
For sure.
We're very grateful for that too. We did get a lot of positive feedback last year from Scottsdale. We really do put our heart and soul into what best serves this community, not even before what's a great conference, but what does this community want to experience at a conference? We really look at it from that lens, which is a little bit more complex, but to Ken's beautiful testimonial, it works out better. It's just more what this community wants to feel. Probably the biggest thing that this will be our biggest challenge, but the thing we love the most is everyone says our conference is very intimate, even though it's getting larger. It's very welcoming, even though it's getting larger. So truth be told, that will be our biggest obstacle as we grow at the rate that we're growing, which I'll talk about in a minute on some of those numbers. But that's what we just really try to carry through is every single person that's there. And we tend to attract that next new generation coming into the workforce in the BizApp space. It's been fun just to really watch them experience a conference for the first time with Doug. So we're really happy to be that host for them. And then there's people like Ken who have been around for a minute, not as long as Zima, I don't think again, but 23 years, you said. also, you know, Zima's really holding the record here on this call. Yeah, I think that even people like Ken, I just hope, you know, that it resonates with you again and you feel that too when you step into a DynamicsCon Live event. You really feel like everybody's there just with open arms. So
yeah, and I'm happy, you know, I'm on one side of the equation, right? Working for a partner. I enjoy being able to contribute knowledge and share what I've learned with other users in the community. So I guess my question for you would be, who should think about who are all the people that should think about consider coming to the conference?
Yeah, great question. This conference is full of it's got our traditional BizApps products that we serve. So you're talking FNSC, BC, CE, Power Platform. And of course, we still serve the Dynamics GP community members, but we're starting to really go beyond that. Copilot, a little bit of Azure, Teams, AI even. So we're really starting to incorporate that. We've got a very popular growing track for cross products. So what happens when you use BC and Power every day? What do you need to know? What happens when you use Teams and CE every day? You know, so that's just more what the community is doing in their day-to-day in their professions. And so we've got a whole track dedicated to those cross product experiences. And if you want, Ken, I can, Ken and Michael, I can go back to some of those stats too for live.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're
I didn't get to answer that. I was going to say, this is a statty kind of podcast. So I think Ken and Michael bring the details. So right now we are over 1,300 attendees registered, which is very exciting, up from 650 last year. So from 650, it's a big deal. And we're hoping to hit 1,800. So a lot of tickets and interest still flowing in. We're really, really excited about that. So almost, we hope to hit 3 times where we were last year. So
that is truly amazing.
Yeah. And I think, so another really fun stat is, I want to say right now we have 65% new attendees, which would of course make sense, right, with that high number. Yeah. But a lot of those attendees, as I mentioned before, are new to our space entirely. This is their first experience, and it's really important that we make this feel awesome and that they are as important at what knowledge they have as Ken is with his 23 years. So it's important that they understand we're truly here to build some cohesiveness between those veterans and those folks that are newer. So
absolutely.
Ken, your teammate that's coming with you that is new to the space, we have a lot of first-timer experience, like a first-timer experience session, and just a lot of open arms that would love to connect with him. And it's going to be great. Yeah. Super, super fun. Excited for your teammate that this will be his first kind of step into community.
So I've got to know though, right? Because I love the branding of Dynamics Con. But who is the Comics Con fan then, right? I'm assuming this is kind of a play on Comics Con. Am I wrong?
Yes. You are exactly right. So the original Dynamics Con brand from when we did the first virtual event did come off of Comic-Con from Jake and John. They thought Comic-Con, Dynamics Con, and it's really stuck. And I have to just quickly plug, we're doing our 6th virtual Dynamics Con event in November this year too, which is crazy that we're at number 6.
Are those growing and growing too?
Those are stable, especially with in-person conferences coming back. We saw a little bit of drop, but we still end up getting about 35. I think we were about 3,500 registrations last year. And we had that whole Microsoft Customer Success Day. So we might have something like that really working in partnership with them. Yeah.
Definitely on par, right? Especially after COVID when more in-person events came back, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the learning content and all the sessions is great. Right. Yeah. Learning about some of the apps or ISV products that are out there is really good. But I know for me and probably for many others, the best part of a conference is the afternoon cocktail reception where you're just hanging out, talking, meeting people, walking around. Right. Exactly. That's hard to replicate. You know.
It is. And it's what we like to call hallway conversations or advanced networking opportunities or whatever terminology you use, even the breakfast table. And, you know, I don't get to go to as many conferences lately as I used to, as Doug is growing, like I mentioned, but I went to the Power Platform Conference last year and it was so great to step back in as an attendee to something and just say, this is how I feel at breakfast. This is how I feel in the hallways, and just have a good reminder of what it's like to be. And I was a first time attendee to that conference and just making sure to really pull all the feels from that experience.
Plus, it's nice too, right? You get to take a little bit of a breath, right? Because when you're at Dynamic Con, you know, you're talking to everybody. Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, yeah.
I was in a conversation recently and I remember somebody saying, well, you're never going to be able to talk to everyone. And I said, no, I know that's the hard part. I'm going to try. But I also know we're getting to a point where if I don't catch you at live, I'll probably make a point to follow up with you after. So, yeah.
Sounds like you need a keynote session just for you.
It sounds like last year I was like, I gotta say hi to Molly at some point. But after a certain period of time, you were continuously walking around talking to people. I'm like, I feel like I'm now stalking her. Like, I think I'm gonna have to lay back a little bit. Someone's gonna start looking at me. Like, they're gonna start looking at me weird. Like, hey Molly, that guy over there, he's like looking at you like something's up.
I have such a fantastic team too, so they are also just wonderful people. I hope that everyone gets a chance to meet. And it is funny though, you're not the first person that I've heard that from, and I laugh every time because I totally get it. There's somebody that you want to say hi to that you've engaged with in the community, and I'm the same way. At our own conference, there's a lot of people that, oh, I really want to say hi and give you a Doug hug in person. So don't worry, Ken, I'm that person too that's like standing awkwardly 4 feet back. I like to think of myself as one with the community, as does our whole team. So, yeah.
So I've got kind of like a different question, right? So what, do you have like some sort of memorable moment that stands out to you from all your Dynamics Con appearances or other conferences or whatnot? Is there something that just, you know, stays at the top of your mind, like a special moment or anything?
Great question.
Or a funny moment?
You know, there's a lot that happens to put on conferences and in and outside of them. And as our team grows, I'm obviously a little bit less involved because we have such a fantastic team. But just watching, I mean, just watching it all happen is always a highlight. If I can get a second, I do take it in. I really take it in and what I'm seeing in front of me and how fast it's grown year to year. Yeah. But quite honestly, just being able to appreciate the team again at the end. We always try to have a team celebration of some sort and just acknowledge all the hard work that they're doing to produce what we hope is the best community experience for people. And then I will be honest, because I am a little bit of a mother hen, so I tend to, you know, just check some of those late night areas where I know people are having fun. And I personally get a giggle out of watching them after a whole box of High Noons or whatever it might be. So I love going up to say hi in those late night hours just to see how much fun people are having together. Because they
people
don't,
watching,
you know,
is always fun.
It's absolutely always fun. Or, but I go right in. I'll go say, oh, hi, guys. How are you?
I was going to say, you'd almost have to do like wear a disguise.
Yeah.
They have the hat on with some sunglasses, maybe, yes. You know, a wig or yes. Something.
And it's just so fun because it's, you know, truly like, yes, this is our educational conference for everyone that attends, and it's a great relationship experience for your career. But there's true friendships that have been in this community for years, and I just love that we get to be a small part of bringing them together again, because otherwise they don't get to prioritize seeing each other. So yeah. That's fun.
Yep. All right.
Good.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
Molly.
We truly appreciate it. We love the vibe. You know what I mean? And the branding of the conference. So everything is great. Thank you
excellent.
So much.
I'm excited. Yes. I would encourage, we always encourage, you know, all of our client users, if they can, to attend a user conference. It's just always such a great opportunity to be able to step away from the office,
yes.
and focus and get a clear train of thought on some things, yes. And come up with ideas and talk to other users about what's going on. And also maybe have some fun along the way.
Right? Absolutely. So Denver, Colorado, May 13th through the 16th. Hope to see you all there.
Any word on where it might be next year?
Not yet.
I gotta try.
Maybe I mean, Ken will know because he's coming to Dynamics Con Live this year. Yes, so you'll see it there. But I think everyone's going to be very pleased. You two in particular will be very pleased with the location. I will leave you with that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We truly do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you,
Molly.
Thanks,
you guys. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Welcome back to AI Snack Time with Ken and Michael. Still enjoying some High Noons here. We've also got some mixed nuts that we're noshing on here.
Yep.
Yeah,
part of the fleet.
Some almonds, cashews, pecans, I think. Pretty good.
Shout out to Farm and Fleet in Delvin, Wisconsin.
Pretty tasty. So today, we're on our AI segment, we're going to focus on our favorite topic around here, which is Business Central and AI. So we do have some news to share. So, you know, whenever we do have some meaningful news related to AI, pertaining to Business Central, right? That's what we want to focus on. So today we have an opportunity to do so. And specifically what we want to kind of dive into are some of the new Copilot features that are going to be coming out over the next 6 months as part of the 2024 Wave 1 release. So we're going to kind of, if you go out right now online and you look up Business Central 2024 Wave 1 release plans or release notes, you'll see a whole section on Copilot, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different features listed for Copilot. And actually at this point, all but one have public preview dates listed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 are currently available in preview mode. Mm-hmm. So what we had a quick opportunity to do is 4 of the 5 that are available today, we actually went in, we created a new sandbox. And if you want to see these, if you don't have a sandbox, or let's say you have a sandbox created already for 2024 and you don't see any new Copilot features in there, you have to create a brand new sandbox because that will then include the newest features that have been added. So we did just that. We were able to go in and look at some of these features, and Michael and I will kind of go through these features here and what they are and what they do. Kind of our results that we got after a first first peek at them. But yeah, you can go out there right now and visit BC Online, create a sandbox and start playing around with these and see for yourself what the results are.
So yeah, get in there, try it out. there's some good features. You know, just like with anything else with Copilot, I mean, it with AI, things in my opinion aren't going to be as accurate yet as they should be. But what do you want to do? You want to go down list by list, Kat?
Yeah, kind of. I would say like overall mixed results, I think is how I would phrase it.
I would say though it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think let's kind of just go by. There's five features that we kind of looked at. Actually, two of them are kind of together, right? So let's start with like the chat with Copilot. Now, the one that kind of seems to go along with chat with Copilot is ask Copilot for help with fields.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of embedded into the chat feature.
Yeah.
So what you'll see is a new up on the very top ribbon, the black bar where you've got your search field and your settings field or buttons. There's a new button there called Copilot. It's like, what would you say that is? What do you say that icon?
I always equate that to, for some reason, I don't know if there was a commercial a long time ago where two hands like coming together. I think there might have been a commercial with an icon like that a long time ago, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah. All right. So if you click on that, what it does is it opens up a pane along the right side, a Copilot pane. It says it's in preview, but basically, it says, hey, you can get answers about your company data and assistance. You can find data. You can help me understand something or ask questions like, how do I do this?
Yeah. And it also has a spot where you can click view prompts and there's other prompts like, you know, same thing, find, explain, but it dives in deeper, right? So find, go to page, explain, you know, different things. It's the same concept as if you're using Windows 11 on the bottom right hand side of your screen, you click Copilot and it populates the sidebar. Only this, I mean, we haven't tried it, but I think all answers are going to only pertain towards Business Central. I don't think you can ask it some outside stuff. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah. But
I think though that this is probably one of the more highly anticipated features of Copilot for Business Central. They've been talking about this for a while, and they never really had a release date for it. So it's good to see that it's in public preview and you can get out there and actually use it.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking when I think a month ago when we were first talking about the release notes and what's available, and there was no dates
right
on any of the things, which we've never seen before.
Right.
So it does look like, you know, it is there. That maybe had some new certainty, and I'm going to go ahead and answer Michael's question. The Copilot embedded in Business Central does appear to only answer questions related to Business Central.
Which is a good thing, I guess.
I just asked it, how do I install a new app on my iPhone? And its response was, I'm sorry, but I can't help you with that.
Yeah.
I can only help with questions relating to Business Central.
That's good. Now, we've been testing it a little bit, you know, back and forth right here. I would say that, I don't know, 50-50, would you say, right? 50-50% works, 50% it doesn't. Maybe a little higher, but you asked it a question if it had, what, a certain field? Right.
And I made up a field name, fake field name. Like I said, on-hand payment tracking field.
Yeah. And it returned an answer, actually.
Yeah. Saying it gave me a result telling me what the on-hand payment tracking field does, which is not a field.
Right. And then another time you made up something else or whatever, and it didn't answer it, but it gave like
some
three different articles or whatever that you could take a look at.
Possible. Yeah. Online materials.
Yeah.
So I think for a new user, if you're asking a specific question, how do I set up a new customer? How do I create a new item unit of measure? Right. If it's a pretty specific question, it appears like it's going to guide the user to give them instructions or links to some of the online help documents.
Yeah. So would you say, The hype for the Copilot chat is was it overhyped? Was it hyped exactly where it should be, or underhyped?
I don't know if it was overhyped. Was it overhyped? I don't think. I think it's probably right. Probably just about right. That's right. I mean, you can also do finds, like you can look up, you could say, look up a certain customer and just type the customer name and it'll pull back the contacts, the customer record and stuff like that. We've been sitting here trying it, like try this, try that, type this in. Like if I say, look up all chairs.
That's another thing though. Right. I think it takes a little bit longer to populate than what I would expect it to.
Yeah, it's working. Like getting, it says like getting information, the bar is a little spinning here.
Yeah. Finding the relevant data.
Sucking gigawatts of energy.
Looking up records. Yeah, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Is it perfect? No. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what though, it works a lot better than some of the other Copilot pop-up dialog boxes in Business Central.
Yeah. So let's, so that's kind of the chat with Copilot, and then the ask Copilot for help with fields is kind of embedded in, inside of that chat. Yeah. The one that we didn't have an opportunity yet to take a look at was the map e-documents to purchase order lines with Copilot. I'd like to do some extensive testing on that. Maybe hopefully next month we can take a peek at that and some examples and kind of give our feedback on that. The one that we just most recently were testing here was the create sales lines easily with Copilot. So what this is if you're on a, for example, a sales order or sales document, on the lines section up on the ribbon, there's the new Copilot icon with a little drop down arrow where you can select suggest sales lines.
Yeah.
And this opens the Copilot box where you can describe what you want to copy from, I guess.
Now, I would say, just judging by when you typed into the Copilot chat, show me what chairs we have or whatever, this doesn't work as well for some reason as the Copilot chat, right? We tested a bunch of different things, and it didn't return a lot of things.
Yep.
But, you know, it's getting there, right? It's just, you probably have a better chance of finding exactly what you want if you just use the normal
searching and filtering.
Exactly. Tools. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're an advanced user, the beginning users, this may be helpful. But to your point, when we just use the Copilot chat feature to find items, it pulled back Paris guest chair black, London swivel chair blue, and Berlin guest chair yellow. I literally typed the same exact question from the sales order lines, and it only returned the London swivel chair blue item. Did not return the other ones. So
maybe it's only populating from past.
It's possible, right? And this is kind of the,
you don't know.
The question is it may be right. Maybe there's a reason why it is doing what it's doing. Yeah. I know that you do have an option to change the matching. You could say, I want it precise, balanced, or permissive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can view lines or lines and confidence. So if you view with lines and confidence, it pops a little column in there, which tells you if it has a high degree of confidence.
Yeah, and what it returned. I mean, I would say, though, that this part is really lacking in the natural language process, right? Especially because that's what they want. They want you to be able to use natural language and search. Yeah. I think that for some reason in the sales lines here, you kind of have to shy away from it.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. It's a little tricky too for us to kind of, we're trying to come up with the scenarios where, right, I have a customer, they've emailed to me a PDF of an order, they're reordering some item they've purchased. Or maybe I have them on the phone and I'm talking to them and they're giving me a part number.
Yeah.
We're trying to kind of go through what is that workflow where I'm just typing something in natural language.
Right. Customer says, I want the same yellow chair I purchased on my last invoice.
Right.
And you type in yellow chair last invoice and it doesn't populate correctly.
Right. So yeah. So this one, you know, and it does, we give it credit. It does say AI generated content may be incorrect up at the top. And there's a little like or dislike, thumbs up and thumbs down arrow. And if you hit the thumbs down arrow, like it gives you a bad answer. When you click on it, it says submit feedback to Microsoft. Yeah. The content is A, inaccurate, B, offensive or inappropriate, or C, other.
Right.
And then it says that, you know, you're helping improve Microsoft's right. products, and IT admins for organizations will be able to view and manage your feedback data.
Yeah.
So
I would say with this one, this one was probably the one that disappointed me the most with the way it worked. I just felt it wasn't up to par just yet. And maybe it will be when they launch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What I'd like to see is like, if I get an email or a copy of a PDF where I can just, you know, you just want to look at the customer's PO lines, kind of do a snip
yeah.
of that section, put that in there, and then have it figure out, oh, this is these three items
right.
and quantities. Like that's
AI.
Maybe that right, that's coming.
Yeah,
that's hopefully. Coming. This is, like you said, this is the initial.
Right. But I mean, I see the benefit of this in the future. Like you said, if somebody's, you know, on a call with a customer, you want to look something up real fast.
Right.
If you can use natural language and it's accurate. Yeah. But yep. as of right now.
Yeah. And we're just starting. I mean, we got to figure out what are the scenarios and how do we need to enter these things?
Yeah. I mean, using their prompts, it works a lot better.
Yep. And then kind of the last one that we want to go through is there's one called Get to Insights Faster or Fast with Copilot Created Analysis Tabs. So analysis tabs, if you are using Business Central Online for the last 6 months or a year, maybe when you're on a list page, you notice a little toggle button that says analyze up towards the ribbon. And what that does is that's this analysis mode. So you basically can be on any list page and you can sort and group and create pivot tables mm-hmm. based on those list pages. And there's new little icons. There's they've changed that little toggle flag up on the ribbon.
Right.
It's now it's just a new icon where and you hover over it and it says enter analysis mode. And it moves you from your list page into analysis mode. So once you're in analysis mode, then what you can do is click on the create new analysis button. Actually, you don't even need to be in analysis mode to do this. You can just be on the regular list page. There's a new copilot button. Oh, you go to analyst list and you say describe the field layout you'd like and copilot will get you started. So I'm going to say show me all sales orders grouped by date, sorted by customer number. And then I'm going to click on generate.
Over, under, it works, but 70%.
Yep. I think what we did find is that it to generate the output correctly, the field that you're choosing to select from has to be a field that's on that list page.
Right.
We tried to do one earlier on salesperson code
mm-hmm.
and salesperson code field was not on visible on the list page and we got whacked yeah. out so results. Once we showed the salesperson code field, it then allowed us to do it. And it looks like it did. It sorted by document date here. I didn't specify which date actually. And then within each date, it's got all of my entries here sorted by, let's see, I don't have any good example. I have not good data in here.
But it did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, it did. It worked. Right. And now once you're in here, you basically can save these views. And then every time you open the page, it remembers all those views. So you can have multiple analysis views saved. And those are there for me every time I open this. I can rename those. I can copy them or duplicate them. I can send another user a link. I can create a link of it
yeah.
and send it to someone else. I can move them around. I obviously can delete them. You can right click and you can, if I right click on it here, sorry, you can select export to a CSV or export to Excel. And even within here, mm-hmm. you can, if you're familiar with using pivot tables in terms of adding additional fields and moving fields around, drag and drop, or changing the values that you have and the totals. Is it a sum, a min, max, average, count? So that all of the basic pivot table things are available now right on the page and available for you anytime you need them. I didn't even have to create it manually.
Right. I would say Microsoft got this one right. Would
you? This is so far what I've seen, the number one.
Yeah, it works. It's customizable tool. To a point. Yeah.
there's a lot you can do with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I didn't have to do anything to get started, but it got, I other than type in my description.
Right.
But once it created it, I then could take over.
Yeah.
And I could change
it. Options to do things,
exactly. Things, rename it, move stuff around.
Simple to use. Good layout.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So this is my favorite.
Yeah, it's probably most people's favorite.
Yep. Yep. There's a full pivot mode on there. You can choose and which columns you want to see, which ones you don't want to see. It's yeah, pretty cool.
Can you do something in the chat with it? Ooh. Probably not.
Sure. let's go back to the chat. Ask a question. Show me sales orders by location analysis view. So I just created the sales by location analysis view for my sales order list page.
Let's see
if it actually finds that and shows it to me. Ah, wow. Still learning how to do that.
Still learning.
So we'll get there, baby. but this is a pretty cool feature, and it's available on all the, like from what I've seen, all the list pages. So if you're on an item, yeah, you could, you know, item analysis, if you're on posted sales shipments, item ledger entries, customer ledger entries, yeah, GL entries. I think there's a huge potential for users.
People are going to love it. This will be their favorite. They're really going to like it.
Yeah. So bravo. Thumbs
all
up.
All right. All right. Yes. I think what's left, we just got to rate the high noons.
Oh, rate the high noons.
Is that good or bad? Oh.
Do we rate the high noons?
That's a good question. Do we rate the high noons? Yeah. Cause it's not really a beer.
Yeah, where does that fall? You know,
I guess we probably don't have to rate it. I will just say now. I'll start. I'll just say that I am surprised that it had more flavor than I thought it was going to have.
Yeah, I'm having to kind of.
Do we rate Mike's Hard Lemonade? Oh, specialty drink. You go.
Yeah. Oh, specialty drink category. Oh,
so we do gotta have a rate it. We gotta rate
specialty
it.
Drink category on the menu here, or on the list here. So,
all right.
I don't really. Well, we had 40s for the other ones. This is definitely better than a 40s. And I have drinking more than one. I went for another and I got a grapefruit. So I've had two. So it's, you know, you get over a 50 if I've had two.
So I put 44 for Jack Daniel's Coke.
I don't know what this one, might be something else.
So I've had two, not as carbonated as I thought it was going to be, more flavorful than I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, are we rating this based on other seltzer drinks, which I can't do anyway, cause it's my first one. But if we're rating, I guess we're rating it compared to other specialty drinks. I would probably opt to have this over Mike's Hard Lemonade in the summer, to be honest with you, right? Just because Mike's is sweet. Yeah, you can't have a lot of
sugar. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So I would say, so specialty drinks, I'm going to go with like, I don't know, 65, right? Just leave a little bit of room for something else. 65 is my go-to. What about you? First of all, you like it?
This is 2 months in a row. I almost am going to change it because the 65 is what I was going to give it.
Oh, really?
2 months in a row that we had the same rating.
Wow. We're getting better at this.
How I got to 65 is I'm looking at all of my beer ratings, and I'm looking at the beers in the upper 60s and the lower 60s, and I'm thinking, would I want one of these lower 60s or a high noon? I think the majority of the time, I'd prefer a high noon over the low 60s rankings. So that's how I got to 65.
We can have the same one. So,
well,
my palate is changing. And two months in a row.
We're aligning, you know. Don't they say,
you're the connoisseur and I'm the rookie.
They say, you know, two people spend enough time together. Right. They kind of become, synchronize.
Yeah. So my dog looks like me.
Something like that.
Oh, God, that's great. Well, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We truly appreciate it. Ken, take us home.
Bye. Bye.
As we end today's podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone who listens, shares this podcast, and leaves us reviews. You've taken a good amount of your time out of your day, and we truly appreciate it. Thanks again, and don't be afraid to email us at marketing@solsyst.com with your tips for the podcast, or maybe you'd even like to be a guest during an episode.